The reading's taken from page 1196 of the Bible. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Johns and Jambres oppose Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned are rejected, but they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good word. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. That was brilliantly read, Chelsea, and you're appreciated. Fantastic, thank you. You were supposed to have the shorter passage last week, weren't you? But we spot you, there you go. But that's great, you did fantastic. So that's really brilliant. Okay, so I want to start by saying there, why read the Word? Why read the Word? Why is this book so important? Why is it so central to our discipleship? I like that little billboard they put up in the States. I've been here all along, God. Okay, and this is one of God's ways of saying, I am here, I have spoken, I am still speaking, I've been here all along. And we know, because you've heard me say it a million times, if we want to look at who God is, we look at Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ think the Word of God was important? If you read through the Gospels, you will know that the example of Jesus, who is this one that we are following and we are disciples of, when he was in the wilderness and he got temptations, how did he respond? It is written in Scripture. He used the Word of God all the time. Last week, when he was talking with the person about loving God or with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul and all your strength, where did those words come from? The Old Testament, from Scripture. Jesus, and I can give you a million more examples, but you get the idea. Jesus was embedded in Scripture. He didn't go, I'm here now, chuck it out the Old Testament. He used Scripture all the time in this sense. So the example of Jesus is a good reason why. It's one of the ways that God speaks. Did you hear that all Scripture is God-breathed? There is the idea that God used people, inspired them by his Spirit to speak to us. Someone had to write this down. And the idea behind the Bible is that it is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. It is his Word. And it's one of the ways that he speaks to us. I've got many, many examples. But I remember once I was in a particularly difficult situation. And there was a particular challenge to me as a person and as a leader, and complaints made and so forth. And I can remember opening my Bible that we were in staff prayers that morning. And I was stressed and I was worried about this. And we read about Paul's shipwreck. And it said, Paul was taken safe to the shore by the Lord without one hair of his head being troubled. And I thought, I'm going to go through a storm here, but that's the Lord's promise to me. I can give you many other examples of the way God speaks through his word today. He speaks directly to us, and he speaks generally to us. What did Jesus say about this? How do we know what God's saying? It's written in the Gospels. It's there. It's the way God speaks. Our faith is based on something real and tangible. Where do you think all the ideas for the sermons, all the ways we live our lives, communion that we've just celebrated, the worship songs and what we're singing, where do you think they all come from? We're not making it all up because we fancy it. We're doing it because it's inspired by Scripture. This isn't something we're making up as we go along. We're basing our lives on something real and tangible. What does Paul say to Timothy? I believe one of the reasons God has given us his word is to prevent what we see at the start of chapter 3. Did you hear that? People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. And it goes on. I could spend an hour now going through one of those one by one, trying to convince you that we are seeing these things in our world, and we've always seen these things in the world. You've only got to open a newspaper this morning to find all of those things. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those Christian leaders that just rubbishes everything and everyone and evil, but you know those things are out there. We even know that those things are part of us. Just having two of these things, just two at the end occurred to me today. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I heard something this week, or I read something, which said that people are stopping buying stuff because we're all stuffed out. Our houses are all full. We've tried, and we're hitting a tipping point now in this country where people have been to IKEA so many times that there's nothing. That's not true, there's nothing left to buy, but you get the idea. But what people are now doing, what has rocketed, has been experience spending. More holidays, more eating out, more the pub economy and or the nighttime economy, thrill seeking, doing this, doing that, is all. We're lovers of pleasure, aren't we? As a nation, we're just pleasure just keeps us going, and when we've filled up our houses, we keep going. Now you know I've said all this kind of thing before. All of these things aren't bad in themselves, but when they are our staple diet and they become our raison d'être, going for the next thing, I'm living for the next holiday, I'm living for this, that, and not getting on with life. We aren't lovers of God anymore. We see that. And that's happening around. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. The amount of time that, the amount of times I've heard as a vicar, oh, I love Christian values. I'm going to send my kid to this school because of the Christian values. Forgive me if you've ever thought that. I know that you're deeper than that on there. You know, the amount of time I hear that, that's liking the stuff that Christianity produces and liking the values, but I don't want anything to do with the power, thank you very much, that's behind that. Having a form of godliness, but denying its powers. I like the values. I'll take that bit, but I'm not really interested in the God who speaks to me or requires anything of my life. This is a society that we're living in, because this is a society that has departed from God's word on that sense. This is what Paul says to Timothy. Wouldn't it be great if those passages were upside down? People will be lovers of God rather than of themselves and each other's. That they would be careful with their money, giving it to others and not getting into debt. Wouldn't it be great if they were boastful of the gospel and others' achievements and not of themselves. Wouldn't it be great if they were people that swallowed their pride? Wouldn't it be great if they helped the abused rather than were abusive? These are all things that are written in the Word. Wouldn't it be brilliant to have a world that was like that? Now, what does Paul say to Timothy later on? He's trying to say, you know, there's always going to be people, just as Jean's and Jean-Bras were opposed Moses back in those times, there's always going to be teachers around that are teaching things countercultural to the Bible. There's always going to be, that's always going to be happening on there. There's always going to be people with new ideas that sound so tempting and so interesting, and but cannot sustain us in this life and eternally on there. And they just twist our mind a little bit away from God's word, bit by bit by bit, until God's word seems alien to us and the culture seems right. But Timothy says from verse 14, "But as for you, Timothy," Paul is saying this to Timothy, "continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it." Okay, who's taught you the scriptures? Have you indeed been taught the scriptures? Some of you could have been brought up in Christian homes, but your parents didn't really teach you the scriptures. They may have brought you to church. Are we teaching our children the scriptures now? Because this was Timothy's, how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures. We learn elsewhere in Scripture that it was his mum and his grandma that embedded him in what would have been the Old Testament Scriptures there. They took time. It is my job to facilitate teaching, but actually, we should all be responsible for the discipleship and teaching of our own children and grandchildren and so forth. I know it's trickier with grandchildren at times, but we have a responsibility there, like Timothy's grandmother and mother did there, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, so the scriptures are there because they can help make us wise for salvation, wise about our rescue, wise about what's going on. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching. Ah, not just the bits I like and the bits that make me feel good. Oh no, the bits that make me squirm and are countercultural to my ideas and countercultural to the way this society is living. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching. So this is great for teaching, learning for us as disciples. It's important for rebuking. Rebuking means, and correcting, rebuking and correcting together means I'm going one way and this will help me, will pull me up short. I need to confess my sins, don't I? I need to change my route and so forth that we have here. And training in righteousness. God's words trains us up. How do I follow the ways of Jesus? All right, it's written in the Gospels. What are the words of Jesus if I'm a disciple, I'm a follower? Oh, it's written in the Gospels. I can find those things out. They're here. And Paul says these things to Timothy. I also think there are many things that aren't there as well. It's not an exhausted list. Scripture is there for encouragement. Keeps us going. It's there for solace. Look at the Psalms. Over half of them are people railing against God. It's okay to rail against God. It's okay to shout and scream and go, this isn't fair and this is difficult and this is hard. He allows that to happen. He gives us a human voice. We get to see something of the human condition in there. It's okay to be in pain and feel deserted and all the rest of it. It's not nice, but God will meet us in that because it's written in his word. As I've already said, it's the primary place for Jesus. The Bible's not just a manual, but it's a how-to as well, isn't it? Please don't get stuck just thinking it's a manual for life. That's one of the things that it is, but it's not that in an entirety. It's inspiring. It helps me know that I'm not alone. Sometimes we feel pretty lonely, don't we? Well, there's a God that cares for us. This is his love letter. There's a grand narrative here. I love what Jan said in the prayers. Started in the garden, ended in a city in gold. There's a story here that fits the world and fits our lives. Ultimately, we've got a choice. Where are you going to take your authority from? Where do people take their authority from these days? People are very quick to give their opinions, aren't they? And I think this, and fight for their opinions, and put it all on Facebook and all the rest of it. Goodness me, we're the most learned, amazing, accomplished generation that's ever lived. Because there's so much wisdom out there, isn't there? I'm really sorry to mock. I don't mean to run down, but do you know what I mean? It's a bit like that. And everyone thinks they're flipping right these days. It does my head in. Sorry, that's probably wrong. I don't know. There you go. On off script. You know, they think they're right, but where are they getting their authority from? Is it someone they heard on the news? Is it hodgepodge that they're making up as they go along? Because people are very sure about what they think, aren't they? Where on earth are they getting it from? Who's in charge of their thinking? Basically, I'll have a little bit of that, I'll have a little bit of that. Oh, that sounded good. Oh, the herd's going that way. Yeah, I'll do that. Oh my goodness, and I'll look back in 20 years' time and go, I can't believe we did that as a society. Isn't that amazing? Or get to the end of our life. Because we do that. Woo, where's my authority coming from? I'm all over the shop here. And I've constructed it myself. Because basically, I'm making a choice to say that my authority is me. I'm going to look at the world and I'll have that bit, that bit, that bit, that bit. I've made myself God. But we don't realise we're doing that, do we? I am the authority. Are you going to be the authority in your life? Or is God's word going to be the authority? That's a real struggle for me in some things. But God's changed my heart in all kinds of ways. And because of his word, I hope only the Lord knows that I've become a little bit more loving, a little bit more compassionate, a little bit more able to help people, a little bit more confident in God and not this world as time has gone on. But we have a choice about where our authority comes from. Anything I've missed? Can you think of anything I've missed? Any other good reasons to read the Bible? This isn't me interviews yet. I'll have them out. Any other good reasons? That's all, good. I've been comprehensive on that one then. I'll take that as read. If you think. But, you know, I've already spoken. It's hard. Let's be honest. It can be really hard, can't it? It can be hard to read the God's word. And why is that? Well, I've already hinted at it. The me culture. We don't do authority and teaching well in our culture. That's not... People don't like being told what to do. Oh, that was very teacherish, what he or she did. It was very teacherish. It's a little bit talking down to us. Okay, that may be the case. But people don't like that in our culture, do they? They don't like authority in teaching. We don't do it well. It's hard, and we're surrounded by that. So taking our authority from something that isn't ourselves and our own ideas and what our mates think is very countercultural to the pick and mix own truth. Why else is it hard? Well, there's the distractions, isn't there, in life? We're lovers of pleasure, aren't we, often? Leisure, pleasure, doings. Just want to watch one more box set. Just want to do that. Just want to check BBC Sport on the phone. That's my personal addiction. I'm ashamed of the amount of hours that I've spent looking at the league tables because I'm such a sad stato. You know, the distractions are there. We're lovers of pleasure and so forth. It's hard because it says stuff we don't like. And I might have to change my opinions about some things in life. Ouch. Big and small. I might have to change the way that I do live my life. I might have to have different opinions from my colleagues, my friends and my families. Ouch. It's really hard. And then do I keep quiet in the corner or do I say? It's painful, isn't it? I don't think that this is easy. On there. It's hard because there is a lot of context and background to this. You know, I went away to theological college for 2 years. They didn't quite lock me up there. I did other things as well. But you know, it's hard. It's hard yakka to understand the context and the background. Thinking Old Testament, New Testament, how do they marry together? And there's all kinds of other problems. And you will know those as well. You'll be thinking of things now going, that's my problem with the Bible. And that's okay to voice those problems. You're going to have an opportunity to do that at the end. It's okay to say, I find this really hard. It's when we keep it in there and it gnaws away at us for years and years, and then one day we walk away because we've never dealt with it. If you've got questions about the Bible, voice them, ask them. You will find it helpful. So let's do a bit of a how-to. And I've got three little encouraging stories. How-to. How are we going to read this God's Word? How are we going to grow like Timothy? How are we going to do it? Well, on our own and with others is how we're going to do it. On our own, there's no magic formulas here. Can you find a time and a place that is good? Is there a time each day that is going to be the best day for you? Now, if you've got four children, four young children, then 7 o'clock in the morning is not going to be when you're going to do it. But there may be other opportunities. Different times of different seasons of our lives, we will change this. But have you got a time? Have you got a place? Have you got a chair in your house that is where you sit and read your Bible? Can you do that on the commute in the morning for 10 minutes? Is it possible to do that on the train? You will have your own times and places. Friends, use Bible notes and books. Just have some little notes. There's like a word for today and all the rest of it. Just a bit of scripture. It helps us. I really want to recommend this book, the Bible book by Nick Page. I've said it before. It is brilliant. It explains the tricky bits. It's really accessible. I sit down there and I'm reading something from the Old Testament. I go, that's a bit funny. I open it up here and he helps me in a humorous, accessible, godly way. There are help we can get. There's millions of things that we can do. Start small. Start small. Take a gospel or a short letter. Mark's gospel has, I've got to get this right now, 15 chapters in it. One chapter a day. One chapter a day, or half a chapter a day. You can do a chapter. You can read that in 5 minutes. You might want to read it a second time through. Just start small. Don't start with Genesis and move right the way through the Bible. Just start small. Start with a gospel. Then you might want to take a letter, like Philippians or Galatians and so forth. Again, just a little bit. This is a discipline. It won't magically happen. 2 weeks to form a habit or something like that? Could you do it for 2 weeks, a chapter a day? These are all ideas. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Holy Spirit, I need your Spirit as I do that. What's God saying to me? Does one verse arrest you? If you're going through a chapter, have you got stuck on one verse? You think, well, that's interesting. Just stop there and go over that verse over and over again. That's probably God speaking to you just for that day. Don't worry about finishing the rest of the chapter. Tuck into that one verse that you hit. Oh, that's interesting. Let it become part of you. These are all ways that we can do this. With others. Church. You hear scripture here. Come to church. You're hearing scripture this morning. Other gatherings all throughout the week. Not just Matt or life group, but Monday morning prayers. Scripture's always written, read. Other times as well. One-to-ones. There's people in this church that have done one-to-one just for like 6 weeks. They've read the Bible with someone else. And it's just helped them. Some people have carried those on. Who's done a one-to-one here? Who's done a one-to-one? Look, those hands are going up. That's brilliant. And some of those people are still doing their one-to-ones. Other people, it's just finite, but it helped them for 6 or 7 weeks to get stuck in. And they could ask people about them. Be in a mat. Be in a life group. Because scripture's shared there. Matt's read God's word and then says, well, how's this going to happen on the high street? How's this going to happen on the Whitfield estate? You know all the rest of them. Life groups do that and share that as well. So it can be done with others. But this is a commitment to make. Okay. I think people, the whole sweep of things, people don't understand the grand narrative of the Bible. And it puts them off. Basically, this is Bishop Tom Wright, if it was six acts, it would be creation, the fall, things going wrong. Then Israel, the story of God selecting a people and all their ups and downs and how he works through them and so forth. And all of the time during Israel, he's saying a king's going to come. His king's going to come. And then we move into the New Testament for Act 4. The king rocks up. Some people don't think he's the king, but we do. And most people think he's the king in there. Oh my goodness, the king rocks up. We're about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John in there. Then the rest of the Bible is about the church and the early church. So all of Paul's letters and so forth. This is a progression. This is the grand narrative. Finally, looking forward to the moment when Jesus comes back again, what we hear of in Revelation, there's a new heaven and a new earth. I'm really sorry that was small. What's what in it? Well, there's poetry. There's legal documents. There's songs. There's letters, there's eyewitness accounts like the Gospels. There's advice literature like Proverbs. There are people stories like Ruth that we read of in there, like Esther, like David. There are historical documents and there is vision and prophecy. If we know what we're reading, oh, that's poetry, that's not literal. It helps us to understand it and so forth. Know what's what. Fives and twelves, the Old Testament is made up of 39 books. It's two blocks of 12 and three blocks of 5. So we start with five law books that are the law. It goes 5, 12, 5, 5, 12 for the makeup of the Old Testament. So five law books to start. Then 12 history books giving the history. So the five law books are things like Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus at the start. Then we've got 12 history books. Your 1 Samuel, your 2 Samuel, your Kings, your Chronicles, all the rest of it. There's 12 of them going through the history. Then there's the wisdom bits in the middle. Song of Songs, Psalms, Proverbs. You get the idea on those things. Ecclesiastes. They're about wisdom and life. Then we get the major prophets. Five big guns. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. You've heard of those people that are there. And then we have 12 minor prophets to end. They're the little ones. The little ones, you know, what are they? We've got sort of things like Obadiah. We've got things like Joel, Habakkuk, you know, and we could go on. That's how it's broken down. 5, 12, 5, 5, 12. This is just a taster. As you begin to kind of understand this, it helps you to read it there. Then we move into the New Testament. 27 books. Gospels and Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And Acts, they are eyewitness accounts of what was going on in the life of Jesus and the life of the early church. Then Paul writes 13 letters to different churches looking at different issues. It's great for those and seeing what they were struggling with. There's general letters, people like James that just wrote one letter, Peter wrote a couple and so forth. And then we end with four books, four letters from John, who also wrote John's Gospel, and a vision called Revelation. That's what's going on. I'm just breaking it down. I just want to end with some encouragements before you respond. So can I call Sarah, Laura and Jan up to come up and share a little bit of stories that they have this week. You would have heard some hows there. You know, we were looking at this own Bible reading and so forth. And Laura, you've got, you know, it's just a really encouraging example of God speaking to you directly through the Bible to share.
When I was first coming to faith, and one particular morning I was really struggling with whether to come to church or not, and just really didn't feel like it, to be honest with you. And I texted a friend of mine, who I knew was a Christian, and he said, go to church, God lifts up those that are bowed down. And at the time, I didn't have a clue what he meant, what he was talking about. But I thought, oh, God, you know, better go along. So I did. And the prayers were read out, and guess what? The first thing that the person reading the prayers said, God lifts up those that are bowed down. And I was just sat there absolutely bowled over by it, thinking, but that's what my friends just said, and now it's just been said in church. And I just started then looking at the psalm that it came from, and it turned out to be a psalm that basically tells you exactly who God is, and in a nutshell, really. And I just honestly thought it was God using this book and his word through my friend and through this church to just prove to me that he was there.
Brilliant. So God speaks. Isn't that wonderful? A great example. Thank you, Laura. I'll come on to Jan in a moment. And Sarah, I wonder, I'm going to ask you, didn't know I was going to ask you this. 3 years ago, were you reading the Bible?
No.
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 So, what's your position now? What story do you want to share with us?
Well, I'm reading it every day now. it's alright. So I got this Bible app. It's on my phone. It's called YouVersion. And, you can go, I always found the Bible really hard to tackle. It's so big. And I'd start Genesis, get halfway through, and then just drop it and move on and get bored, whatever. YouVersion I find really interesting. It's got these plans. So if there's something going on in your life or something you're struggling with or just a season of your life, you can find plans. Some of them are 5 days, 7 days, some of them up to a month. And it's just a little bite-sized piece every day, and there's a little devotional as well, and then a piece of the Bible. And you can also do Bible in a year through it, which is what I'm doing as well now. And it's just like opened up the Bible for me completely. I love it. And also you can make friends with people on it, and you can follow what they're doing on it and kind of encourage each other if you want to. You don't have to. And I just absolutely love it. And so I'm kind of doing Bible in a year, but also just doing little plans here and there. And it's just completely like opened up the Bible for me and just made it so much more accessible. So
that's brilliant. So an app on your phone, it's easy, does it all for you, apart from the reading. And I want to say, how long did it take to sort of form that habit?
Oh, it's straight away, actually, because it was so much. I kept opening the Bible and just, I'd read a page and it didn't really speak to me. And because it's so accessible and it's so related to what's going on in my life. But then even Bible in a year, I find every day something in it speaks to me every day.
That's brilliant.
It's really good. It happened really quickly.
You didn't need my sermon. You just needed them up at the start, didn't you, really? That's brilliant. Fantastic. And Jan, you've been reading the Bible for years. What tips would you give to people?
I think the most important thing is when you come to know the Lord Jesus, you fall in love. And I don't know about everybody else, but I love Alan, and I want to spend as much time with him as I can.
We love Alan, but not in the same way that you love Alan.
No, but other people's relationships. And so I wanted more. I want more. You want more and more of the person that you love. You want to get to know them. And I think that, for me, was the start in building the relationship. But it lifts me when I'm down. It encourages me. I find, initially, when I first started to read, I used, as you were saying, Word for Today. There's lots of little books about that you can pick up, which will help and encourage you. I used to have a calendar that had daily verses on. That helped and encouraged me. And more... You want more. And when I knew you were doing this and I was looking at prayers, I went through my Bible. I'm naughty. I write in my Bible when God's actually taken a verse and spoken to me through it. And I can't tell you, I've written them all down here in my notepad. So many times, in so many different circumstances, God has spoken through his word, either to encourage me or to rebuke me, or just to tell me that he loves me and everything's going to be all right for my family, for Alan and I, for friends, for the world. It's all there. It's better than any novel you can pick up because it's there. And I agree with you. I don't do YouVersion, but it comes up because I have friends. Sarah puts on that she's doing YouVersion, and so do quite a few other people. And it is a real encouragement. I think it's what suits you as well. It's what you can learn from, and where you're comfortable, because we all learn in different ways. Yeah. But it's the best. It's the best.
Thank you. That's brilliant. That's been fantastic. Thank you. Please take a seat. Really helpful to hear those testimonies on there. And you know, I put an email out. Does anyone else want to say anything they found would be really helpful? I know it's easier when we talk amongst ourselves first. But didn't get many from the men. Didn't get from them, I don't know, you know, maybe it's an issue for men reading the Bible, I don't know. Maybe it's what the women coming to me. Men, the women are showing you, or maybe the men are just quiet, I don't know.
When Steve's sister died in 2008, we were given a verse out of Isaiah 58, and it said, free those who are wrongly in prison, lighten the burden of those who work for you, let the oppressed go free. Remove the chains that bind people, but then it got more relevant and said, share your food with the hungry, give shelter to the homeless, give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. And that was a week before she died, and the three kids came to live with us.
Yeah. Incredible. And they're on God's word. There we go. Nick, well done for the men, Nick.
I really struggle reading, and I think I've only picked up in the last sort of 5 or 6 years, particularly when I'm singing worship songs, that I might have some form of dyslexia where words start jumping around. But I listen to the Bible app, so when I'm chopping cucumber at 7:30 in the morning, I've got the Bible on and I'm listening to it, and instead of reading it, because it goes in better like that.
Brilliant tip. And that's fantastic. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Right, Alex, last one.
A way I find helpful to read the Bible, because I struggle doing it when I'm on my own, but I find it easier in a life group. So I recommend that people join life groups.
Brilliant. That's what, you know, recommend that people join a small group. Just helps us through it, keeps us accountable. That's brilliant. That's what I want to hear on these things. If you want to be part of a one-to-one, just to get you started on Bible reading, you're feeling a bit, you know, you're either someone that wants to share your knowledge and help someone, or you're someone that kind of wants to be helped, or it might be sometimes I've paired people together that they just enjoy reading the Bible together. There's a notice in Grapevine. Please email me and we can sort you out with a pairing there. You can do it just for 6 weeks, so it's finite, and then you may want to go on or not. You're not tying yourself into anything to come there. Okay, just our response then to end. You've been very, very patient on this one. Just response. Can you turn to the person next to you? Is there one thing that you've heard this morning? Maybe you've been inspired by Sarah, or you've been inspired by Jan or whoever, or Laura or whatever it may be, or Nick, or you've been inspired. There's something you've heard. Yeah, maybe you think, I really do need to join a small group. I need to join a mat or a life group. Also, I need to do a one-to-one. You've heard those things. What's the one thing that you can do this morning from what you've heard? Yes, I can sit there in a chair at a particular part of a time each day and I can read one chapter from the gospel, whatever it may be. And is there, you may be sitting there going, I'd like to read the Bible, but God, I can't believe it says this in it and I've always struggled with this. Well, say it out loud and ask God. You know, it might be the one thing you want to ask him. Lord, I just want to give this to you in prayer. So could you just turn to the person next to you? Is there anything that you think that you can do following this morning? Is there one thing? Off you go. Okay. Could I ask you to stand if you're able to? I'm just going to pray. Pray for us. I'll give you a little bit of space in between. You've had a chance to express that to someone. I don't know how far you got with that. I don't know if you've committed yourself to that, but there's an opportunity for you to commit yourselves now. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you you've been speaking to us this morning. Now in the quiet, and with your Holy Spirit's help, we're just going to have a time of quiet where we can say, Lord, I'm going to try and do this. In the power of your Spirit, I'm going to join a group. I'm going to do a one-to-one. I'm going to sit and read on my own each day, and I'm going to try and do that for a week and take it a week at a time. Whatever it may be, Holy Spirit, just come and people can make their promise to you in the silence. We may have a question as well. just be able to pray that and say, God, I've always wondered this and I struggle with it and it's really hard. Please can you answer my prayer? We have a chance to tell God that and just see if he will answer our prayer. And whether that issue would just float away or whether we will have insight on that issue over the next week or month or so. So come, Holy Spirit, and address our questions. Give all of this to you and ask that your Spirit would be at work in us and your word would be more central to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.